This is Dr. Yo. Welcome to Respecting the Future. Your host is Levin Chuck Wilson, better known as Chuck. He's committed his body of work to serving individuals, families, and communities. As a social worker, he's taken the oath to be a change agent. This is the episode in the series of Planning to Succeed. It's all about defining your strategic plan and how to move from one position to another, moving the needles and mountains in your life. So let's talk to Chuck.
Maybe you think that the message has changed. Then won't you lend me your ear, your ear? Maybe you think that the news is new and history can live again. Then you ought to hear this.
So, Chuck, we were last talking about family as a barrier.
Yes, yes, yes. We talked about how do we deal with the barriers of the family. And I think we talked about having courageous conversations, right?
That's true.
Okay. Well, you know, when you talk about having courageous conversations, we have to figure out what the barriers are in our family. What do you think some of the barriers are?
Somebody didn't like what somebody was saying before, or their jealousy. Miscommunication is most often the number one chief concern.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I think those things are right, and I agree with that. But I think truth is the biggest barrier. We don't deal with the truth.
Within
our families, absolutely. We hide things. You know, basically, example, if you don't have the resources to buy that child those $200 Nikes, right, you'll say, well, hey, I'll get those Nikes for you my next paycheck, not realizing that your next paycheck is directed for something else.
Right.
So what you're doing is you're creating this image, this facade, this barrier of untruth in your family. Say, you know what, if we can't get it now, we'll get it later. When in fact, you should be talking about, hey, let's budget. Let's look at why I can't get you the shoes. Not when I can get you the shoes, but why I can't get you the shoes. And when I can get you the shoes, what are there other things that are more important than those pair of Nikes?
And I've been there, you know, having a daughter that's away in college and doing well. You know, you want to support her. I wanted to support her. So when she'd come back home, there'd be gifts and different things laid out on her bed. And after a while, I realized that the appreciation was diminishing because she was constantly getting it. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that, hey, my budget was taking a big hit. But I never really had that courageous conversation with her as far as the expectation and, you know, where all of this was coming from. So I can see that being a problem.
Absolutely. This thing, this deal with budget. Budget can be a big barrier in a family.
Right.
Right. Say there's a change in careers, change in jobs, which means it could be a change in income. And you're still trying to live on the same income of that previous job that was a greater income. And now the family has been socialized. That child has been socialized to think, hey, it's okay for me to pick out $300 tennis shoes, when in fact they have no idea of what the budgeting operation is for the family. So it creates a barrier.
It does.
And then that impacts communication. Like you just said, you started to feel like she did not appreciate what you were doing, because maybe the situation changed where you were not able to do those same things.
Right.
And so now she's like, well, Mom, where's this? Or the expectation is, where's my stuff? But it's not really her fault. She's not even looking at it like
exactly.
that. When in fact, the courageous conversation should be, hey, parent has a new job. We don't have that job anymore. The budget is no longer the same. We're living on this budget. We have more month than money. And this is how we have to operate as a family. So let's re-engineer our thinking. And that starts out with the conversation. See, barriers, I think, come from all of our senses, whether we're using the sense of smell, touch, sight, taste. Make sure that in our families that we are dealing with the truth within our senses. And I think those are some fundamental ways to deal with barriers.
Another email that I was looking at coming onto this podcast, this young lady was talking about single mom and a pretty substantive position. And she lost her job, but she never shared it with her son. She never shared it with her family that she lost her job. So for like 4 months, she struggled and she really carried a big burden. And she was basically seeking your advice as to, you know, what should she have done and why did she feel the need to put up that barrier and pretend that facade, mm-hmm. as you were talking mm-hmm. about.
Well, I think we're socialized to be prideful. There's nothing wrong. Pride, there's nothing wrong with having a pride in the context of that I'm proud of being proud of my work,
right.
being proud of where I'm going, being proud of my past. But when you're talking about pride in the sense or the context of hiding, lying, or trying to camouflage the truth, that's where the problem comes in. Because now we want people to think, hey, we want to project a certain image, but that's not the real deal. That's not who we really are. It sends the wrong message, which really is a fake. You know, the young people say, hey, don't fake in the game, right? So what's happening is we've created a society of fakers. We go to jobs that we don't want to go to.
That's true.
We sing on choirs that we don't want to hear. We don't like the choir director. We go to churches where we don't like the preacher. And we have this certain image at church, at work, at home, that, hey, everything is cool. But in our private life, at home, in the car, with our best friends, the people that we can really let our hair down,
right.
those people that's behind that barrier, those people that's really close to us, then we start saying, well, you know, I didn't like that in such and such, no way. I didn't want to do that anyway. I didn't want to belong to that anyway. So what have you done? You've been faking all your life.
It's amazing, though, how when you say no or be truthful to yourself, it's like a sigh of relief. It's just like this great overcoming pleasure of, wow.
But look what you're doing. Audience, you can't see this, but Dr. Yo is pulling her hands down. That's basically what we're saying. That barrier is something that needs to come down.
Right.
I'm not talking about the wall that our president is talking about. I'm talking about the wall in your life, that wall of saying, you know what, I can't do this because of that. I don't know how I'm going to get to this point. I don't know how I'm going to get from A to B because this happened to me. This person lied on me. This person cheated me. This person cheated on me. This person abused me. My money is funny. My friends are few. I'm disgusted and busted. All those types of things. Take those barriers down and say, you know what? I'm moving forward. Because if you got a barrier up, nothing can get to you and you can't get to nothing else.
Right. So when, let's say you have somebody who wants to come and move in with you for a month, and the person just keeps going. It's a vicious circle for them. And you really don't think that it's beneficial for you or for them. Should you do it again? Should you let them stay with you? Or should you move on and tell them, not this time?
Well, you have to use wisdom, and you have to look at you have to really look at the circumstances in the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I have this thing called WIFM, WIFM, what's in it for me? You know, so basically somebody's telling you that I'm going to move in with you. Well, what's in it for you? We know what's going to be in it for them. Right? We know that you're going to put them up, but what is it? What's in it for you? What's the reciprocation? All right?
But
what's the benefit?
Right, but usually, you know, you go to church and it's talking about, you know, being that good person. So you're not really doing things for something to come back at you. You're just trying to do the right thing.
But
after a while, you're like, I'm being used.
But your question to me was, it was a repeat. They've doing it again.
True.
Right?
It's
a repeat.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like if a person repeats a grade, that means the chief concern was they flunked. Somewhere,
yeah.
Right? And what caused it? They probably didn't go to class. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. Well, if you are repeating the same situation of having to go live with you again, what caused it? What's happening with that? Have that courageous conversation.
Right.
I think, you know, I'm not saying not to help people.
Right.
Because, I mean, I love helping people. I'm called to help people. But have the courageous conversation and say, okay, why are we here? What's the chief concern?
Right.
And why are we here? And then how can we address each one of those things?
And having that courageous conversation sometimes can be painful for you, especially when you want to do what's right for you. Just to be able to say no and just have the words come out, no, can be painful. But after a while, you realize that, no, I'm, you know, not going to be a fake. I'm not going to do this, and it's not beneficial for me. I'm not going to hide behind a camouflage. I'm not going to do anything that does not benefit me. So I guess it's starting one step at a time.
Well, it's really about the truth. You know, you're going to help people. I'm going to help people. People
right.
help people. We do that. That's what we're supposed to do. But we are also supposed to share the truth, have those courageous conversations, develop a strategic plan to discuss those barriers, what's causing them, and how we can address those. If it's your friend, hey, this is what caused it. This is how we can address it. That's the best way I think that we could move forward in a situation like where we're not creating those barriers of the future, where you say, you know what, my friend misused me and abused me. Now I'm not going to help anybody. You put that barrier up, right? But when you tell the truth and you're helping from an altruistic perspective, you never create those walls because, you know, you're constantly going to go through things. If your money is right, then your health may be bad. Your health may be great and your money may be funny.
Right.
Or your health and your money may be good, but your relationships are going bad. Your money, your job, all those things could be going good, but the house is crumbling.
Right.
Your mama is sick. It's always going to be something. But I think we as people just have to tell the truth and say, you know what, let's just have I wouldn't say confession, but let's say, you know what, let's just use truth to heal each other.
Right.
Just not to judge each other, but let's use truth to heal each other.
Well, we talked about speaking the truth, and they always say, you know, the truth will set you free. Well, let's talk about your spouse or your significant other or your better half. How do you have that truthful conversation, break down the barriers, and not necessarily and lose a relationship? What do you do?
Well, again, first of all, you have to examine what is the chief concern in your relationship. You know, if a person is hiding their past or hiding something that's happened that's preventing something else to happen in the relationship, you have to have that courage, and it has to be both parties or all parties involved. You know, you may have children and so on and so forth. But between the spouses, you have to be able to tell the truth. And if you can't tell the truth to each other, then maybe you want to consider getting a therapist or a counselor to help you navigate and facilitate the truth. If that's not going to happen, well, then you're looking towards something that's could be catastrophic
right.
later on, because anytime the truth is not the force, is not the leader, is not the sustainer, then catastrophe is headed that way.
Now, you talked about you know, breaking down the walls a little bit at a time with yourself, the truth. There are times when I need to go into that secret place. That secret place where it's just me. Not that I want to be away from the world, but I just want to be able to be with me, think about things. Now, is that hiding? Is that, you know, a camouflage? What are your thoughts?
Absolutely not. As long as that secret place is not a place of detriment, right? If that secret place is a place, like example, I use myself for example. I travel quite a bit. I love to go to the movies. I like to go to the mall as well. Sometimes I can just go to the mall and sit down and people watch
mm-hmm.
and think or even write. I find a lot of peace in that. Or I can go to the movies and just fall asleep. They cut the lights out. You got somebody, you know, beside you. They may be a little warm. You got a little heat coming, you know. You know, you got some popcorn that's been spilled on your chest. You know, get you a sip of Coke or something and just knock out.
Right.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're going to that secret place and it's detrimental, if it's causing you to slip back, if you're going to that secret place and there's somebody there that's not positive, you're going to that secret place and then there's some things that you should participate in because you're saying, you know what, I need this fix. I need this man. I need this woman. I need this hit of this. I need this drink of that. I need to do this so I can get through the day, get through the situation. Then that secret place then becomes a place of detriment, which causes you to put up another wall because now you're hiding that place of saying, this is your place where you go do your stuff. That secret place should be a place of refuge, a place of healing, a place of solitude, a place of restoration, a place to reset.
And a place that you keep coming out of.
Absolutely.
So can you tell us if barriers are ever good?
I don't think barriers are good because barriers prevent things, good things from coming in and good things from getting out. So for me, I don't think the barriers are good. I think barriers are meant to, for those of you who believe that they are, let's look at it from their perspective. Mm-hmm. Maybe a barrier is meant for you to just have some surgery to recover,
okay. But
never to be permanent. The barrier should never be permanent. It just should be a temporary thing so you can reset, restore, re-engineer, be redesigned, and get ready to get back out there, face the world, live your dreams, and not hide.
Well, Chuck, once again, you have carried us through the barriers, chipped away at the bricks, one at a time. Thank you. Glad you joined in on our conversation. For more Let's Talk to Chuck episodes, sign up and follow us on Podomatic, iTunes, and Player FM. You can also reach out to Chuck via email at leventwo, that's L-E-V-E-N, the number 2, at me.com. We hope that this episode will help you to make the choice decisions that respects your future. Remember to tune in to our next conversation with Chuck. We want to say thank you to our engineer, Sam Walton. Until then, it's all about moving the needles and mountains in your life.
Maybe you think that the message has changed. Then won't you lend me your ear, your ear? Maybe you think that the news is new and history can live again. Then you ought to hear this.